Holy Spirit, you're all we want. You're all we need here on this Sunday morning. For we know that you're able to do all things. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and speak to each and every one of us here this morning, even including those that are viewing online. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen, amen. Let's go and give the Lord a good clap offering here this beautiful Sunday morning, amen. Worship team, you may have your seats. Great job. You may have your seats as well. I want to welcome everyone that is here this morning for making it on out to the Sunday morning service. And I want to thank those also that are viewing online being here with us this day. I'm excited. We're starting a new series. A lot of great things around the corner for the gang. God's Anointed Now Generation. Yeah. Amen. I know that it's a little early, but I know like next week they're going to go to Chicagoland and have a powerful time there. But it's in the air that I believe Pastor Ryan, the overseer of the gang, is going to be coming here to our church with not only just a region, but the multi-region. That's all the way out there to Florida, Atlanta. Amen, and all the other parts and the other regions, amen, they're all coming together here at our place, so I'm real excited. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do in order for us to be ready for those great services that are going to be taking place, amen. We're starting a new series here this day on the book of Nehemiah, and I'm sure many know about the book of Nehemiah and where he would get a burden to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The gates have been burned down. Amen. The walls were in rubble and ruin. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about for the next few weeks. Amen. And it's time to build. It's time to build right now, people. And, you know, I know we can do it. I know we can do it. We've done a lot of great, great projects. Way beyond the size of the project that's before us right now and doing the next things here within the church, you know, the physical things that are needed outside, inside, and more importantly, the spiritual things that are needed. But we've been here before where the stakes were even greater, and somehow or another we did it, and we're up against another work that needs to take place outside the church. And I'm not going to get into that right now, but I'm going to preach the message and open up this morning in the book of Nehemiah that prayfully y'all would get it. And if you want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you and us, the church, you're going to have to pay attention right now. You're going to have to pay attention. And I would advise some of you to buy notebooks, a computer, your phone, and to start taking notes. Your retention is not that good. Just because you've been saved for more than a couple of years don't mean your retention, you have great retention. And a disciple, when you break it down in the Greek, it means a pupil, a student. And any pupil, any student there in college, even in doctor's degree, they got to study, they got to take notes in order to become what they're going to college for. And I really believe if we're going to become those true end time disciples of Christ that can build and that can make it and take a hit, we're going to have to be students of God's word, pupils, and knowing what is being said right now is so important that you want to take notes. I've never stopped taking notes over my 25 years in ministry. I've never have ever stopped taking notes because I was out of the home. I wasn't directing the home no more. I was the senior pastor now. I still take notes on a daily basis all throughout the day. I'm always in thought because the Lord is always speaking, and I have notebooks, notepads all over the place. Some in my bedroom, some in the living room, and all kinds of them in my office. So it's real important in these end times, if you're going to be a student, you know, you got to really ask yourself, have you been a good student lately of Christ? You got to ask yourself that. If he was to come and give you a test right now, would you be able to pass the test? One given by our Heavenly Father that loves us. Would you be able to pass the test? Have you been studying, the Bible says, to find yourself approved? And too many people trying to be Christians outside of Christ, outside of his word, outside of prayer, it's just not going to work. You're not that good. If we were, there would have been no reason for Christ to go to the cross. And I believe there's some good, grateful people in the house here this morning viewing online that need to take their walk with the Lord seriously. Because if you continue the ending of this year where you finished off, where you started, you're going to get the same results. Some of you desperately need to start taking notes and saying, this is important to me. I am going to write. It's important for my life. It's important for my family, my friends, my cousins, people where I work at, the lost and the bound. The instructions of Christ, the words of Christ are important. I need to know them if I'm going to be able to share them. I need to walk them if anybody's going to follow me. So it's real important, and I keep saying it because everyone knows now that we're living in end times. Right after the service, we could get bad news on the news, on the TV, that this and this is now taking place. Amen. So I beseech you, I beg you, you know, to become a good student of the Lord if you're wanting victory within your life. If you're wanting victory within your life, what you know because of work ain't good enough. It might be able to pay the bills, but it won't, it's not great enough to get you through what you're trying to get out of right now. Amen? We need to become students, people. We need to become students. The title of this morning's message is, We Can Build It. We Can Build It. Amen? We can build it. I'm confident of that. Next April, I believe it's 20 years that we have been here in the great city of Milwaukee. Amen? And a lot of great victories have taken place to allow us to be where we're at right now. That didn't come by chance or by luck. Amen. But it came by a few good disciples coming together to make a difference, not only within this church, but within the city of Milwaukee, within the region, within the multi-region, all around the world. And I believe the Lord is looking for a few more good disciples. Good disciples that he can speak to. Disciples knowing that it's so important, they're willing to take notes to be able to retain what the Lord is saying, to be able to do what the Lord is saying. So I'm convinced what's before us right now, that we can do it, we can build it. Amen. And I'm going to slowly take us these next few weeks. Amen. As Nehemiah took the people and restoring the walls of Jerusalem and the gates that had been burned down. Amen. And I believe there are some things in each and every one of our lives that need fixing, that need to be rebuilt. The work of the enemy has come and destroyed some things within your life, within your thinking, within your actions. And there's some work that needs to be done. If you want to get out of the situation you're in right now, there's some strategic moves that you're going to have to make. If you want to get out of the few binds right now that you find yourself within, those viewing online as well. I'm going to show real quick a map. This is just like a rough map there of the wall and the gates, amen. It's not the greatest picture. But I challenge you when you go home today to go find you a map of this wall. It gives, I believe, Nehemiah was working through the 10 gates. It gives certain amounts of gates. But I believe in this photo there's 10. And as you see the black outline, that was the walls of Jerusalem that have then been destroyed. And then within those walls, you will find 10 gates. And they all have different names, and we're going to be going through them. But in the upper middle, you have the temple. It was like the church. The temple was surrounded with walls, amen, and gates. And what was, the temple was open, but what was destroyed was the walls and the gates. And I believe church is open right now, but I believe there's some walls and some gates that have been torn down by the lies of the enemy. Enough of them that is not allowing us to be successful in the building of the temple, numerically speaking, spiritually speaking. And here in this time, the temple was open, but the walls were in ruin and the gates were burned down. I'm going to be speaking about the importance of the walls and the gates next week. Amen. I have a quote here this morning that comes from the Daily Walk Bible. And it says, prayer can do anything God can do. Prayer can do anything God can do. I have a second quote that says, pray like it's up to God, then act like it's up to you. Pray like it's up to God and act like it's up to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you silence our minds right now, Lord, and that you open our hearts. And I pray that your uncorruptible seed, your word, is deposited into the hearts of your people, Lord, that it be able to take a root, that it be able to bear the fruit that you have called it to bear here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Prayer is so important. Out of all the things that we're going to be learning in the next few weeks, I want to challenge people, if you don't pray, to start praying for 5-10 minutes a day. And that prayer can change your life. It can change your attitude. It can change the outcome of your life, the outcome of what you're facing right now. Prayer is real, and it's effective. When we pray unto the Lord, it has kept me for 25 years, and it is still growing me more and more, where I'm hooked on prayer, strung out on prayer, whatever you want to call it. I know that I cannot start my day without prayer. I know I got to go get high with Jesus. There's just no way around that one. And I believe there's some here this day, some viewing here this day, that still go about your day without getting with the Lord first. Education ain't going to see you through, though education is a good thing. Good money in the bank ain't going to see you through, even though finances are needed. But there's something about a praying man, a praying woman, a praying young adult that knows how to get with the Lord, no matter what side of the tracks they were raised on. Prayer works. Prayer works. It looks like my throat's going to be itching the rest of the service, but praise the Lord. Amen. As we go to the book of Nehemiah, I'm going to be reading from verse 1 through 4 of chapter 1. As we all follow along, those viewing online as well. And the Bible reads, these are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hilkiah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, and I pronounced that right, I looked it up on the pronunciation, it's Artaxerxes. Reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. This is Nehemiah, man. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Amen. I have a question here this morning. How many have ever received bad news before? How many received some bad news this morning? Connie just spent $3,000 fixing her car, got out of the shop just the other day, and she calls me this morning. She said, sorry to call you sorry, because she knew I was in. I said, what's going on, Sister Connie? Pastor, I don't know what to do. And I was like, I really don't like talking to nobody in the morning. And I said, okay. And she said, well, you know, Janie went to the grocery store, amen, and my car won't start. And I wanted to pour my heart out to her on the phone, but I had a priority over that. And I know her long enough that she's going to have to deal with it. I says, pick and save a safe grocery store. It's in the parking lot. It's not parked illegal. We'll deal with this matter after the service. And she said, amen, Pastor. She got news, bad news this morning. For you, it might not be much, but her car's really been acting up with a lot of bad luck lately. It looks like it does 200 miles an hour. It's beautiful. But she received bad news. So she thought she would, did you call upon the Lord when you got the bad news? She called me, amen. One step away from that.
How many have ever gotten bad news and didn't do anything about it because you believed it didn't belong to you? That was his problem. That's her problem. That's what he gets. That's what she gets. You got the bad news, but it wasn't your problem. When Nehemiah got the bad news, the report of the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down and the gates caught on fire. When he received the bad news, something within his heart allowed him to feel that that bad news belonged to him. Even though he was 900 miles away from where the bad news was taking place, something took place when he heard about the bad news of the walls of Jerusalem and the gates. Something within him took ownership of that bad news. Even though he had not only 900 miles away, even though he had a very important job. Nehemiah 1:11 says that he was the cupbearer, amen? Let's go to the real end, last two lines. Be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. He not only had a job, he was the one highly, highly trusted of the king to pour his wine, to test the wine, to make sure it wasn't poison. He was a very trusted, great man of God that the king trusted in. He had a full-time job, a high-paying full-time job. It would almost be like being the right hand of the president in the White House of the United States. But he caught a burden through the bad news he heard. Even though he was 900 miles away, and even though he had a big job being the king's cupbearer, something took place within his heart. He took ownership of it. And the first thing Nehemiah did in the hearing of the bad news was that he prayed. See, the problem with the people of today, even the Christian of today, it's real easy to act like a good Christian when nothing but good news is coming. But when bad news comes, do you get in the flesh or do you take it to the Lord? The first thing Nehemiah did was that he prayed. He prayed. When this all started, when he got all this bad news, that's why reading your Bible is very important. In chapter 1 of verse 1, the Bible says, these are the murmurs of Nehemiah, son of Hilkiah, in late autumn. Amen. So the Bible says late autumn was late in the winter when he got this news. Amen. And the Bible says that he started to pray. He started to fast. Amen. To the God of heaven. And then it gives us another very important time. And that is found, amen, in chapter 2, verse 1. And the Bible reads, early the following spring, in the month of Nisan. So here, when the bad news came, Nehemiah started fasting, he started praying. The Bible says, when he actually had the conversation with the king, amen, 4 months, give or take, had gone by, that Nehemiah had been praying, that he had been fasting, and I believe, it doesn't say in the word, but between the lines, it's in there. I believe he was doing his homework. It wasn't like he got the bad news that day. He was troubled. He went to the king that day, and he left that day. The Bible clearly gives us two timetables that says late autumn and early spring, that 4 months had gone by. I believe within those 4 months, he was doing his homework and everything that had to take place for him to make a difference in regards to the walls of Jerusalem and its gates that had been burned down. I've been strategizing for months and months and months. And how are we going to grow this church? How are we going to get the much needed finances? How are we going to get the much needed numerical growth taking place? And I study it day and night, day and night, day and night. And I take it to the Lord day and night, day and night, and day and night, because I know I myself cannot do it. I thank the Lord that he has given me the capacity to do what one out of two can't do, and that's stay married. That's have children. Have three in-laws at the house at the same time. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Most of the time. Big maintenance there at the house. A lot of stuff going on. But all that is this big compared to the building of the temple of the Lord. Working with people that don't want to get it, that are happy with where they're at, or not happy with where they're at, but yet not willing to make changes, a shift in their life to get different results. You're looking at an ex-heroin addict right now. 7 years in prisons, level 3 to 5, not because I was a bad dude, I was a dope dealer. Did time with lifers. Ran the streets. Did all that stuff. And something happened within my life. Doing time in prison, minding my own business, something happened within my life where God would initiate his love, his plan, his purpose, not only for my life, but for the great city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Something would start taking place within my life. Back in 1996, 97, where God would not only give a plan of victory for my life, but he was working out a greater plan that surpassed me having victory, but going to a city, an inner city called Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that I would come to preach the gospel as I'm preaching here this morning. This is of God. I did not choose Milwaukee because I never even knew it existed. It was nowhere in my mind, in my heart. I am here because of the obedience I had unto my pastor, Pastor Herb Valero, that has gone to be with the Lord. And I was willing to make the changes within my life, not knowing that being willing to make the changes within my life, that God would be using my life to one day preach the gospel to make a difference within your all's lives, those viewing online, to make a difference, to brag and boast on Jesus that I haven't touched a drop of liquor in 25 years, a cigarette, another woman, have never said a cuss word, to brag and boast on what Jesus is able to do in a man's life, in a woman's life, in a young adult's life, that's willing to make some shifts and changes within one's life. He did his homework. 4 months had gone by, and then one day the king saw him kind of looking sad. The Bible says that early the following spring in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King, I got to go to my cheat notes, Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. Here we find the time had come for Nehemiah, and the king would ask him, what's going on with you? And it wasn't like Nehemiah didn't say something like, I don't know, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He knew. For 4 months already, he had been calling out to the Lord. He already had a full strategic plan of what was going to take place. He knew how long the project would take. And we go to scripture to get the answer. Chapter 2, verse 6. The king with the queen sitting beside him asked, how long will you be gone? When will you return? After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. When the question was asked there in the presence of the king and the queen, it was a simple question, but it was a tough question. How long would it take to repair the walls of Jerusalem that were over 2 miles long? But Nehemiah, because he had done his homework, he saw it all the way through. 4 months had gone by, and he was able to give the king a clean answer to how long he needed to be gone. He wasn't taking a 2-week leave, it was more like a 2-month leave. And chapter 6, verse 15 tells us that answer. So on October the 2nd, the wall was finished, just 52 days after we had begun. Now I could see being back in 52 days because he had to go make a doghouse and get back. But to rebuild the ruined walls of over 2 miles, 10 gates. My next study will tell you how tall these walls were. It wasn't a little 4-foot picket fence wall. Amen? Made out of stone. So when the king asked the question, Nehemiah had an answer because he had already seen it all through the scope, the big picture. And as we fast forward to chapter 6, we go to find out that he was right. 52 days it took. How many days should it take us to do a plan that I have done my homework over that's nowhere close to the plan that Nehemiah had to strategize for? Itsy bitsy plan we got here right now, church. And without a plan, if we don't put the strategy and people don't step up, we're not even going to be able to do a little bitty plan. But yet, when we were in the world, we claimed we were this and that. We did all this time. We had all the dope full of the trunk full of dope. We were pimping. We had them all over from coast to coast. We bragged all this stuff, but in Christ, you have no problem killing yourself at the job you work at. But how about the building, the temple of God that he's wanting to build right now that represents people, that represents the lost and the bound? Do you have time for God's plan? The one that saved you, that sanctified you, that set you apart. You want overtime at the job, but you can't even do part-time in the temple of God. Is Pastor mad this morning? No, he's serious. Because the title of the message is, we can build it. I'm convinced of it. And all it needs from you guys is a mental shift of what is my part in the building of the wall and the gates? What is my part? Here, Nehemiah knew how long the project would take. And the second point, he also knew how to get there. Remember, it was 900 miles away. There was no MapQuest, no car, no plane. It was on foot, baby. Deserts and rivers, and he mapped it out. He knew how to get to Jerusalem. A trip that would take 900 miles. By foot, by animal. Ask me how I know he knew how to get there. Chapter 2, verse 7, the answer's in the Word. So he got the first one, he got the time off, amen? Alberto couldn't get the time off to go to the conference. He couldn't get a week off. So he's, oh, man, I got 2 months off. Okay. All right. Let me see what else I can get off the king. I also said to the king, if it please the king. Some of you got to say, if it pleases you, pastor. Let me have letters addressed to the governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, amen, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. Amen. He knew also how to get there. Got the time off now. He knows how to get there. And what the heck, man? He got two home runs. He goes for another one. The third point is that he knew what he would need to get the job done. Now, this wasn't putting carpet in a 10 by 10 room. Over 2 miles of rock fence and 10 gates. 4 months with the Lord. He knew what he needed in material to get the job done. And the answer is found in the Bible as well. And that's in chapter 2, verse 8. And please give me a letter. He's going to the king again. Saying, please. Give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest. My God. We need a manager of the forest, man. That means wood. Instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. So here, the king okays all the material. He called his manager that managed the forest to take care of Nehemiah and to give him whatever he needed to cover over 2 miles of Jerusalem walls, the gates, and everything he needed. He knew what he would need to get the job done. I know right now what we need to get the job done, people. But to get a job, you need people. You need people. Last thing and final thing, and I'm going to be short with you guys this day. He knew the fourth thing that Nehemiah knew, spending those 4 months with the Lord. He knew that God's hand was upon him. You find that at the last two lines, because the gracious hand of God was on me, Nehemiah 2:8, at the real end there. Nehemiah knew that the hand of the Lord was with him. He knew how long the project would take. He had answers. He knew how to get there. He had answers. He knew what he needed to get the job done. He had answers. But the greatest answer he had that he knew was that the hand of God was upon his life. Can you say that the hand of God is upon your life right now? If you were to grade yourself according to being right before the Lord? In my early years, I struggled as a minister, as a pastor, as sharing the word. For many years, I was heavily troubled. I knew that the Lord had called me, but I just didn't feel qualified in sharing his word. And I would have to study crazy days and days in and days out in order to get a Sunday morning message, a devotion for Wednesday or Friday. And I was really troubled about it. And then I would see the next man share and say, man, how come I can't speak like that? And I always saw myself very, very limited. Nor would I ever say the hand of the Lord's upon my life on a Sunday morning message. Today, though, 25 years later, 20 years later here in Milwaukee, with all my heart, in all truth, I can say that the hand of the Lord is upon my life. Am I perfect? No. Is the hand of the Lord upon my life? Yes. Yes, it is. I know why many ministers don't make it. And I know we have the facility, I know we have the people, but we're needing a willingness right now from the people. And a lot of times the people cannot do what they want to do to help the church because they yet themselves haven't gotten unstuck. You're still all caught up in doing what you're not supposed to be doing. All caught up on what's going on Facebook. All caught up what's going on in the neighborhood. All caught up with what he or her has to say. And that's when you get those results. Very limited results from people. The Bible says, by now you should be a teacher of the word. You should be a teacher by now of the word of God. But sin has a way of disqualifying people from being ministers of the word of the Lord. And it's not the pastor's fault. It's not who you're married with's fault. The job you got. The ride you drive. It has nothing to do with that. At the end of the day is, are you spending time with the Lord? Because if you do, he will slowly but surely give you a peace. Even when everything is cutting loose and going the wrong way, he will give you a peace that his hand is upon you, and you will know, you'll be secure in that his hand is upon you because you spend time with the Lord. It's very, very important. And then to get past knowing God's word and being able to do God's word. And right now, like never before, I need men and women, young adults, that are willing to do God's will. And if you're young in the church and you're young online, we're here to work with very young converts that have a willing heart to want to get involved with the church so the church can get to where God wants the church to be, so that the lost and bound can get saved, can get worked with, discipled, and become students themselves. But I believe too many times we get caught up in work and ain't got time for nothing else. We'll be having a lot of meetings with the leaders. We're going to go into a series on the walls and how Nehemiah, by spending time with God, then he got access to all these things from the king. But then he got what he needed last was the people to be able to do over 2 miles of wall in 52 days. I don't know about you, but when I got excited, getting high and running with the devil, I put my whole life on the line. He didn't have to ask for it. I wanted to give it. And it's hard pulling teeth in the church service with people that fall to pieces over little dumb stuff. Little circumstances. You go crazy. Start saying all kinds of stuff. Cussing. Leaving the church. And the reason you don't have a capacity to endure, a capacity to have a greater endurance of pressure, because there ain't no prayer. Prayer allows one's life to deal with pressure more and more and more. But the reason some of you guys get mad at the drop of a hat is because you have no prayer in your life. You have no prayer in your life. Anything and everything somebody says sets you off. Instead of just walking by and just keep on going and mind your own business. Even though your name was in it. We're living in end times, and we're going to have to learn how to work together. There's no way around it. And I know as we go back to, we can build it. Picture, please. We can build it. We can do it. Alberto right now has left the banking world of 15 years to be a carpet cleaner. Sounds retarded, huh? Would you do it? You want to talk about a shift? I'm not pumping up Alberto. He's only done a few jobs. I'll pump him up once he does 2 or 3 months of 8 jobs a day. Then I'll say, hey, Alberto, bad dude. The office desk, AC in the summer, the heater in the winter. 15 years of wisdom. But yet, the people in charge there could not see his worth and given him a week off to go to the World Conference. Here, Nehemiah got 2 months off being the king's cupbearer because God was in it. Because God was in it. What sacrifice, what are you willing to do? I was able to leave everything in California, had a business and everything, doing great, wanting to be with my pastor, the sunny state of Northern California. And from one day to the next day, the 4 months was up, Jack, and pastor gave me a call and says, get ready, you're leaving tomorrow morning to Milwaukee. Come back in 2 weeks to pick up your family. He didn't say, here's $10,000. Get you a flight, you know. They didn't say get on the bus, nothing. He gave me instructions. I had to figure out how to get to Milwaukee. I had to figure out how to get the money to get the flight. Overnight flight. Came back in 2 weeks, picked up my family, rider truck, my old pickup, my tools in it, and came to Milwaukee. Yep. I not only gave up a business, I gave up a state that I was in. I moved, left everything to be here. So when Alberto does something like that, makes me happy, but it don't blow my mind or anything like that. Because I've already been there and I've already done that. Because God did something in my life like he did in Nehemiah, where no matter what my pastor asked for, I was going to do it. I was going to get it done, and I was going to figure it out. I was going to make it happen. Nowadays, you can't even look at people funny because they think you're talking about them. This is the times that we're living in right now. I'm not asking for people to leave their jobs. I'm just asking for people to get involved in the church. You can still live in Milwaukee. To get involved, to be a giver, a happy giver, like the Bible, a joyful giver. I tell true stories again because I got the notes still in my drawer. Back in the days, we had beepers. We didn't have cell phones and all that. The little beepers, I had a green one. First, they all came out black, and then they started coming out in color. I'm going way back, 25 years back. And I had my little beaver, and it was bzz, bzz. Who would look at it? When I would get paid, and it started with a minimum paying job, whatever it was, I was so stuck on dumb, I didn't even know what 10% was on a minimum paying job I had. So I had to study, I had to move the decimals over and all that. I learned how to do it and then round it off to the highest dollar. When I would get paid, the first thing I would do, high as a bat, it was like going to the connection. I would do my tithe all in cash. I would do my, and I got a written record of all the months and the years. I got sheet after sheet after sheet in a drawer that when I was in Salinas, California, of my tithing record,
kept the way I knew how to do it. Not on a computer, but on a notepad. Nowadays, I was faithful at the minimum pay, and when I had my biz, I was faithful on all levels of whatever money was coming in. I was in every pledge that the church had. A van, we had a lot of pledges back in California. I was in every pledge, every rally, every picnic, never missed nothing. Because God did something in my life that I knew I didn't deserve, and I knew it was Him. Brought my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters all back. He rebuilt my life through what His Son did. My life was rebuilt. Something that no amount of money could fix. Mom and dad couldn't fix it. There was only one person that was able to fix my broken down, ruined life. And His name is Jesus. And He used a man called Pastor Herb to speak through to get the job done. Don't you want to finish strong in your walk with the Lord? Don't you want to see this church flourish and prosper? Don't you want to see it packed out? Not to say we got 200-300 people, but to see souls saved and say we have 200-300 people. Don't you want family sitting next to you that will never sit next to you unless you take it to the next level in your commitment, in your sacrifices? Because we can do it, church. We can do it. Chavo's tries to make me feel good, but he bumps me out every time. He says, Pastor, how do you do it? How do you do it? I was like, man, I don't like that question. Then I kind of like it because I got to look up. To stay encouraged when I know people within the church could be doing so much better, but choose to do nothing and let all the few do all the work. At the end, the Bible says that the Lord's going to settle accounts with His servants of what we did and what we didn't do. Be blessed. Be a blessing. Be blessed and be a blessing. It doesn't take as long as you think it's going to take for your life to be changed. Nehemiah changed the whole morale of all of Jerusalem. I don't want to give any more because of the walls now were up and the gates were up. As we stand this day, I challenge you people. I'm not mad at nobody right now. But this is a serious matter. I had a leadership meeting the other day, and I asked all the leaders to give me something new that they've never done that they're going to contribute to the work of the building of the temple of God here. To give me something fresh. I know them all very well. To give me something in how they're going to do something new and their contribution to the building of the church. Time is ticking. Time is limited. And God wants to do something so great here in this church, in the place you stand, that all Milwaukee is going to get wind of it. All the Great Lakes region going to get wind of it. The multi-region all around the world. Do you see it? Do you feel it? Every department of the church running strong with the top flight leader leading every department of the church within and without the walls of the church. Powerful men of God, powerful women of God, powerful young adults that are wanting to make a difference not only within their own lives, but in the lives of the lost and the bound.
that have not a clue of which way to turn, hear this day. Whatever the song is. I just want you to stand right there where you're at. Close your eyes. And listen, listen, listen. Are you knowing God's next move within your life? Is the hand of the Lord upon your life? Make it here this day about you and Jesus. Make it about you and Jesus here this day. It's your time. It's our time. We can build it. We can do it. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us.
Come rest on us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can do it. You can do it. You can make those changes. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Allow your heart to be stirred. To respond. As Nehemiah, we have heard, and it's time to respond. We have heard, and it's time to respond. And if we're going to respond correctly, it's time to spend time with the Lord, to humble ourselves. And putting Jesus first. Every day, you and Jesus, every day, you and Jesus, every day, and watch for the results to come. Watch for the change of attitude to come, change of heart to come. Watch your capacity grow in dealing with more pressure and keeping your cool. Father, we thank you for this opening morning in the book of Nehemiah, Lord. And I pray that you challenge your people, Lord Father God. Hear this day in your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to challenge us to invite somebody to church, and it's not just something I say, but something we do. Amen. To get more people involved to be able to do what God has called us to do here in and through the church of VO Milwaukee. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you guys. If anybody has anything they need to speak to my wife or myself, we're here for you guys. Love you guys. Thank you for coming out.